Now, because we are not in our normal mode, I thought I would share something that's very, very much on my heart. And by doing that, I'm probably going to be preaching a bit more passionately than I normally would. If we could turn to John chapter 7. John 7. I'm going to read just two verses, verses 50 and 52, but you've got to keep your eye on the passage as I'm preaching. Now, let me give you the context before I read. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish people, were gathered together to talk about this Jesus who they wanted to get rid of. He was getting on their nerves. And they are making plans. They sent guards, and the guards came back empty-handed, and they're discussing, what are we going to do with this Jesus? We've got to get rid of him. Now, verse 50. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Can we pray, please? Lord, I just ask you to help me to preach clearly, and may your spirit convict as you see fit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Nicodemus here asks the Jewish leaders who are complaining about Jesus a pretty reasonable question. He says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him? In other words, before we reject this Jesus, before we throw him out of court and get rid of him, don't you think we should first get together with him, sit down and talk to him and find out what he's all about? Get information about Jesus before we just throw him out of court. He's basically implying, listen, what if Jesus is the Messiah? How can we just reject Jesus before we've sat down and found out what it's all about? Get the information about Jesus first, and then we decide. And yet, look at their response, the Jewish Sanhedrin. They say this, are you from Galilee too? Look into it. In other words, and this is important, look into the Bible. Look, search the scriptures, and you will see in the Bible, no prophet comes out of Galilee. They knew Jesus was a Galilean from Nazareth. The Bible never once mentions the Messiah coming out of that part of the world. The scriptures clearly teach the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem, the city of David. Therefore, they put two and two together, and they say, Jesus can't be the Messiah. Finished. Doors closed, case thrown out. Do you see their argument? According to scripture, Jesus, if he was the Messiah, would come from Bethlehem. And they knew Jesus had come from Nazareth. So therefore, sorry, he can't be the Messiah. And let's face it, they've got a biblical argument here, haven't they? They are right. Scripture clearly does tell us that when the Messiah comes, he will come out of Bethlehem. So the case of Jesus, as far as they're concerned, is shut on biblical grounds. Search the scriptures, look into it, they tell Nicodemus. And remember, the Bible they had in those days said nothing about Jesus. It just said the Messiah will come from Bethlehem. If only those men had gone to Jesus, like Nicodemus suggested, and sat down and talked to him, they would have found out that actually he was born in Bethlehem. He was born at the time of the census of Augustus Caesar, remember? He came by birth from Bethlehem, just as the scriptures said. But of course, by searching the scriptures, these Jews would never have found that out, would they? They can go from cover to cover of their Jewish scriptures. They wouldn't have known this. Jesus had to tell them this. They needed to know this information about Jesus before they could judge. So here we read of people who reject Jesus, listen, on biblical grounds. Look into it, they say to Nicodemus. Search the scriptures. What they're basically arguing is this. Listen, we know our Bibles. We're the Jews, the people of the book. And nowhere is it to be found that the Messiah is from Galilee. Case closed. Now, it's a sad story because we're looking now from our perspective and we say, these silly fools, if only they would have learned facts about Jesus, it would have been evident that the scriptures do confirm him. This story proves something very convincing to me. And it really is troubling me in my day and age, and I'm speaking, I hope, to brothers and sisters and friends. These people had their Bibles, but listen, something in their context was needed more than their Bibles. They needed Jesus to be explained to them. Does that make sense? Well, obviously, that's what we get out of this. Now, one of the most frustrating struggles I have as the teaching elder of this church is pretty similar to what we read in this passage. I tell you, sometimes I think I know what Nicodemus must have felt like in this passage. It can be very frustrating. Again and again, I've come across people who I will call Bible-only people. And they'll say, hey, I've got my Bible, and that is all I need. I can read my Bible, I can study it for myself, the Holy Spirit will help me. I don't need the church to teach me doctrine. I've heard this again and again from people who are very convinced that what they say is true. Again and again, I've heard this claim, and maybe you have to admit, this is probably the way you feel too. I've got my Bible and that's enough. Do you know how sad that is? In fact, I'm going to be a bit rude and say that's naive. It's pathetically naive. Stop and think. Don't the Mormons read the same Bible you do? Do you think they don't study their Bibles diligently? Do you think they don't go to, you know, get all the information out of that same book? What about the Jehovah's Witnesses? They might have a different version, but they read the Bible. In our text, we read that the Sanhedrin Jews were men who could quote the scripture passages from memory. They knew their Bibles amazingly well. And yet, what our text is telling us here is that even if they searched the scriptures from cover to cover, it would not have been enough without the teaching of Jesus to supply them with the gospel truth. You see, they needed the teachings about Jesus that put the scripture readings into their right perspective. And they very arrogantly say here to Nicodemus, look into it. How naive they were. And yet there are many people that have this attitude today, and it frightens me because it will catch up with the church if we don't correct it sooner or later, or at least check me out about what I'm saying and do a bit of research into what I'm sharing with you. Many people have no knowledge of church history or very little knowledge. And I find what they've done is they've taken that famous Reformation slogan, sola scriptura, scripture alone, and they've twisted it. The slogan, sola scriptura, is very much misunderstood in our day and age. Many people seem to think that when Martin Luther called out Scripture alone, sola scriptura, that he was claiming that every individual must read and interpret the Bible for themselves. Me and my Bible. Well, that was never what sola scriptura meant in the Reformation. What it meant, let me tell you what it meant. It meant this. The Church of Jesus Christ has no authority to teach anything but scripture alone. The Bible is the church's one and only reservoir of truth, and everything we proclaim to the people as a church must come from scripture alone. That's sola scriptura. It refers to the church corporately and not individually. And sadly, we've been brought up in a culture where there's very much individualism in our way of thinking. We're consumers by nature, and we tend to look at life through the lens of our own self-autonomy. And if something makes sense to me, oh, then it must be true. That's just the way we're conditioned to think. If I can figure it out in my mind and it makes sense to my way of thinking, that's a fact. Many people have lost the sense of communal thinking that past Christian generations had. We've forgotten in the 21st century that God speaks to us as the body of Christ, the church. And the church is supposed to read the scriptures apostolically, not individually. The church is built upon apostolic foundations. And that's why we read just now in Acts chapter 2. Let me just read one verse, verse 48 of Acts 2. Here's the early church described. We're told they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You may say, oh no, the apostles' teaching? Listen, they had their Bibles. Why did they have to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching? Wasn't the Bible enough? Isn't it sola scriptura? The teaching of the apostles was absolutely essential to understanding the Bible's message. The apostles' teaching is all about Jesus. Now, please get this, because you need to know Jesus. There's a word that not many people like. It's the word doctrine. But doctrine basically means Christ-centered teachings. When we talk about Jesus, the apostolic teaching, we're talking about who he is, why he came, where he comes from, his relation to the Father, his relation to the human race, where he's going, what he's going to do. All of the information about Jesus is what the apostles gave the church, and through their teaching, we read scripture. And only if you get a grasp of the apostles' teaching will you be able to read the scriptures and interpret them correctly. You see, the apostles had been given the key to scripture. Christ is the key to scripture. An example was this morning, we looked at a passage that sounds quite shocking if you just read it for the first time. Sacrifice your son. But if you read it through the lens of Jesus Christ and you know a little bit of the doctrine of Christ, it makes sense. Without learning the apostles' message, you can read the Bible from cover to cover and yet not discover the gospel in it. I'll give you an example. Think of Isaiah 53. Who doesn't know Isaiah 53? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. By his wounds we are healed. We know the beautiful psalm. Now we who've been trained in the knowledge of Christ read that psalm and instinctively, this is a picture of the passion, isn't it? We get pictures, it brings emotions to us. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God. But think about this. The Jews have been reading that passage a lot longer than we have. They've been reading that same passage for 3,000 years, and they're not stupid, they're not illiterate. They do not read what we read. You see, Christ is the key to the scriptures. And Christ has to be taught through what the apostles have told us about Christ. So it's not true. I would like to suggest that all you need is your Bible and you'll come to know the truth. Look, there are people who miraculously are taught things in Scripture simply by having the Bible. But history has proven most people will read their own interpretation into Scriptures. We've got to read the Bible through the lens of the apostolic teaching of Christ. Now you may say, oh, wait a minute. What about the Bereans? The Bereans weren't suckers. Didn't the Bereans, weren't they the more noble because they searched the scriptures? You all know the passage? We've got to be Bereans. Hold on a minute. Why did the Bereans search the scriptures? They searched the scriptures to check what the apostle Paul had told them about Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ was preached, Christ and him crucified, and then with that information that the apostle gave them, they searched the scriptures and confirmed gospel truth. It's through the knowledge of Christ that we read the scriptures. And that's why we read it very differently from the Jews, who read word for word the same Bible we do in the Old Testament. Paul taught Christ and him crucified, and then the Bereans searched and confirmed what he told them. The church reads the scriptures apostolically. I could put it this way. The apostolic message of Christ, who he is, what he came to do, why he came, where he comes from, his relation to God, God's relation to creation, all the things we learn in doctrinal studies, it all fits into this message of Christ. And these doctrines enable us to read the Bible in a Christian way, accurately. The doctrines of Christ are essential to our own individual Bible study. Doctrine guides our reading. Doctrine interprets our reading. Doctrine corrects us. Now we get the doctrine from Scripture as well, but we start with the doctrine and have a clear understanding and then read the Scripture and it all comes to life. Sadly, not many people seem to do that nowadays. We've got this individual idea that we can just find it for ourselves by inference. Well, if that were true, how do we explain all the confusion in our churches today, all the scattered teachings and different ideas? Well, you may say, well, okay, that's the way you see things, but I don't care what you say. I've got my Bible, and I don't need to be taught doctrine by the church. I don't need Bible studies, thank you very much. As long as I've got my Bible, I've got all the information I need. Maybe you feel that way. Well, for a moment, consider a little parable that I made up. All right. What would you think of somebody who said to you, I'm going to drive around the world in my car, on my own. I'm going to drive around the world. And it's just going to be me and my car. And I don't need to know any mechanics. I'm just going to drive around the world. Forget about mechanics. That's boring stuff. I've got my car and that's all I need. I'm off now. I'm going to drive around the world. Is that wise? What happens if you're halfway around the world and you get stuck in the Gobi Desert? Wouldn't it be advisable if you are going to trust a car with your life going around the world to get a knowledge of how a car works, to get some mechanics into your understanding, how parts work, how parts relate to one another, how things can go wrong, how to put things right, how to repair an engine? Wouldn't it be wise if you're going around the world to get some mechanics? What sort of a nutcase would say, I've got my car and that's all I need? And yet I have honestly met a number of people that have told me, I've got my Bible and it's going to take me all the way to heaven. I'm going there, but I don't want your theology. I don't want your doctrines. I don't want all your teachings about immutability and eternity. And that's boring. I've got my Bible. And this is going to take me to heaven. You can only truly know the wonders of the Bible through learning the teachings that the apostles taught. The apostles came to teach us Christ. And when we say Christ, that's just a word. What we mean by Christ is the Son of God. There's a doctrine. The one who came to save. There's a couple of doctrines. The one who's eternal and yet time. There's another doctrine. We've got to know these things because they are the lens through which we correctly read and interpret the Bible. And people, let me think about this. The scriptures tell us that God has given the church teachers. Now, why has he given teachers? What would be the purpose of teachers as a gift to the church? They're not there to convert because we've got the evangelists, haven't we? What's the purpose of the teacher? What are we to teach? Table manners? Modern day politics, I don't know, crocheting. We're here to teach and deepen the church in its knowledge of Christ. And as we understand the apostolic teachers in a deeper and deeper way, scriptures come alive to us. And you can be ignorant and naive and yet know lots and lots of scriptures. I've met people like that, especially in other churches. But without apostolic teaching, Christian doctrine, it cannot be discovered. All you'll learn is what it's saying to me now in my immediate situation. It becomes a very personalized type of meeting with God. We have to learn the scriptures. Now, in this reading we had this evening, these people had the Bible and they knew their Bibles. They were world famous for their memorization of scriptures and they could quote you all sorts of things. But because they did not have knowledge of Christ, they did not know that Christ had come from Bethlehem. And therefore searching the scriptures from cover to cover amounted to nothing. We need to study the Bible. If there's one particular complaint I have as the one called to do the teaching, the eldership of teaching here, it's people who see very little value in my particular calling. I really sense that as frustrating. That I've trained for years to communicate Christ through the apostolic teaching, through the training of the church, but people will say, and I've heard this a few times, but I've got my Bible. That's all I need. I don't need all the teaching of the church. Sadly, you're ignorant of generations and generations that have gone before you, that flourished on the riches of the knowledge of Christ through apostolic teaching, who was trained in the verses of the doctrines of God, who were catechized thoroughly. I can only speak for myself, but as I've grown in my doctrinal understanding, my understanding of scriptures intensified. I can pick up portions of scripture now, something obscure, like something in the book of Ecclesiastes or something. And because I know Jesus and what he did and who he is and what he came to do, because of the doctrinal and systematic truths, Christ jumps out. I'm not reading it in. It's what the scriptures that teach us of Christ teach me about the rest of scripture. We've got to be trained in the things of God to be a sound, healthy church. There are many people that can quote chapters and verses. I know a Jehovah Witness that puts me to shame. He's so quick on the mark. You just say, well, what about this? He goes, oh, it says here, it says here. He knows his Bible through and through. But he reads his Bible without the apostolic teaching of Christ. It's a waste of time. Please, if possible, study to know God better through Jesus Christ. Study your scripture, study your theology and doctrines. They're an essential part to your growth as a Christian. Just pray. Father, I just want to pray that you've spoken, Lord, to those whom you would speak to. And I just pray that we will love your word, love your truth, and love Jesus. The very fullness of the deity. in bodily form. May we want to know him. May we strive to know him. And may through Jesus, the Bible become more and more alive in our minds and hearts. Amen. Who knows this one? We haven't sung it since I've been here. More about Jesus would I know? It's you and me, Keith. We're going to do a duet. You'll pick it up quickly.